Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are brought to you by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They're awesome. They have 136 draft beers. They have a menu to die for. You go there, you watch LSU. You can watch EPL soccer. It wraps up. And Saints training camp is around the corner. The Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they support us. All right, Andrew, all credit to him. He got a really great guest for us tonight, Tim Lolito. Starting guard, New Orleans Saints, is here to join us. And, Tim, we're going to talk about offensive line and your career in just a second, but you have a charity softball coming up. I know that's real important to you, near and dear to your heart. Tell people how they can go and enjoy the fun of the Saints softball game.
Yeah, so actually it's not just the softball game. We're doing the tournament the weekend before, so November 21st. May 21st, we're having at over at
Zephyr Field.
No, the park right next door. Anyways, you can go on tcynow.org and look at all that information. So I kind of started because I wanted to do it. So we're doing kind of like a tournament, and the winner of that tournament gets to play, you know, the Saints, all my buddies on the team, Wednesday the 25th. So it's kind of like a pros versus Joes type deal. So, I thought that would be pretty cool. You know, like I know Heath Evans had the tournament before, and then it would turn into Ben Grubbs' deal. And then last year, as you guys know, like no, basically what happened was, we got into OTAs, and I was like, okay, who's going to take over the softball game? And no one kind of stepped up. So, you know, I just stepped up and kind of we threw it together in like 3 weeks. And last year was out at Mike Miley Stadium, and this year the game, the 25th, is going to be at the stadium. So,
Tim, give that website one more time.
It's tcynow.org.
So, Tim, besides
you can find a lot of information on there, or you can go to the Son of the Saint website and find and get all the tickets and information on there as well.
Son of the Saint website. So Tim, besides raising money for the charity and everybody having a good time, the most important thing is you go yard, right?
Oh, absolutely. I haven't gone yard since I was probably like 10 years old. I'm awful at hitting a ball that's rising towards me. I can't do it. So I kind of ask him to like throw it up high, so it kind of is, you know, has that same falling motion as a baseball kind of.
So I'm hoping that when you go yard, you make a vine and you just like tweet it out like a 10,000 times and just be like, look at it, people. Just that's what I would do.
Well, last year over at the park when we were at the tournament, they asked me to get up. I swung so hard, I almost came out of shoes.
Andrew Derby again, and is there a lot of talk between Luke McCown and Drew about their prowess? I know they kind of go back and forth. Those are kind of the big hitters on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Drew's very competitive, and Luke is as well. So, you know, we have the big trophy, kind of like we did last year. Actually, Justin Drescher won it last year. Out of all people, I was completely surprised. So, but no, yeah, like you said, Drew and Luke. The sweet thing about Drew is he's such an athlete that he can switch hit, so he'll he'll get up there, hit 10, 15 home runs right-handed, then he gets bored and then switches over to left-handed and hits another 10, 15. And they're not just over, like, the little makeshift fence that we have out there. That's probably at, 250. He's actually hitting them over the actual home run walls, over the wall in the back, so 400.
He gets,
yeah, Drew's a pretty good tennis player, too. He beat Andy Roddick when he was a kid.
I think overall athlete, Drew's probably one of the best I've ever seen, because if you've ever seen baseball, tennis, golf, basketball, I heard he's just freak nasty at basketball too. So
he gets bored hit switch hitting. That must be fun.
Yeah.
So Tim, the interesting thing, I find this is like a pivotal point in your career with the Saints. I feel like, they talked about drafting a guard, they didn't. But I feel like this is a really pivotal season for you with the Saints as far as solidifying that spot, solidifying that starting guard spot, and getting a long-term contract and sort of being the guy at one of the guard spots.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be nice. I was kind of, put in a situation like the whole restricted free agency, this year going into the offseason. I kind of knew that was going to happen, so... but like you said, it's definitely a big year for me going into it. Definitely focus, work my tail off in the off season. So I'm just ready to get back and be with the guys and see where we can go from here. The rookies just got in today, so they all look good. I'm excited to start competing against them.
Hey, Tim, I want to ask you how you kind of manage that relationship with the rookies. And now that you've had the luxury, as the young guy of dealing with veterans like Max and Zach Streif, who, I know have always been really helpful to you and kind of brought you along. And, now you're a starter and you've got Senio and you've got Andres Pete, potentially could move to guard maybe and battle for a spot there. And then you've got these two rookies who were undrafted and Landon Turner and maybe Jack Allen. But there's a lot of talk about them. And so obviously these guys are gunning for your job in a sense, and you want to lock that down, but you want to be a good teammate. You want to help those guys develop. So can you talk a little bit about how it's kind of a double-edged sword there, managing, bringing those guys along, but taking care of your own self at the same time?
Well, that's just it. So, you got to be a good teammate. I feel like, right when I came in, I had, like you said, Streif and Max. Well, Max wasn't here right when I got in, but I had Ben and John. It's kind of different for those guys because I feel like, being a four-time Pro Bowl, all Pro Bowler and Ben being a Pro Bowler himself, that they didn't really feel a whole lot of pressure, a whole lot of competition for me. But, they still had to be good teammates, and that's kind of what I, have to do. I have to... For the better of the team, kind of take myself out of it and like really look at myself very deeply and be like, okay, is this really what the team needs? Does the team need me to start, or do I need to be a backup swing guy? So, but all I can work on is just getting myself better. Like I can tell those guys, hey, this is what worked for me. Try this, try that, but. If they don't listen, it's one thing, and like I said, I'm just trying to get myself better to help this team win.
Do you feel a big responsibility to help those guys, or do you feel like you've got enough leaders on the offensive line with Max, with Zach, with Teron Armstead that you can kind of let them do that?
Zach is very outspoken when it comes to helping guys because he's towards the end of his career and. We're definitely going to miss him when he goes, whenever that is. But he is kind of like he's definitely the professor on the offensive line. Like I think he loves coaching personally.
You think he'll be a coach when he's done?
I don't know if he'll be a coach. I don't think so. But I think he gets enjoyment out of seeing guys' success off the keys that he gave him. So. Mm-hmm. I just kind of let Max and Zach handle that role as like talking to guys. But if any time guys were to come up to me and ask me, Yeah, there would be no problem. I'd give them a straightforward answer, like, hey, especially because, you know, I came in the same situation as them. Both, you know, actually there's four or five of them that came in undrafted. So if they had any questions whatsoever, I wouldn't hesitate to answer.
You know, I'm always interested, Tim, when we talk to Saints players or different athletes. When was there a moment, you know, because you come in, you're fighting to just stay in the NFL, stay on the team, make a roster. Was there a moment in training camp or wherever where you're like, okay, all right, I'm gonna make it here. I'm gonna be an NFL player.
As far as like my rookie season,
oh, yeah,
or as far
like
as
rookie season, where you're like, okay, I think I'm gonna make this. I'm gonna do this. This is happening.
Shit, I didn't feel that till the second year, third year. You know, last year I was still the first 2 years, just kind of swimming a little bit. You know, especially rookie year. And I tell the story all the time, like that Saturday right before, you know, all the final cuts, or Friday or whatever it was, before all the cuts had to be made, you know, I was chewing on my fingernails, my toenails. Like, I was like, man, you know, I thought for sure I was going to get cut and, you know, possibly be brought back somewhere, picked up somewhere on a, you know, practice squad, which would have been fine with me, but I got lucky enough and impressed the coaches enough, and they saw something in me, you know, that I could be a player one day. So I got extremely lucky and you know, come into a great organization like the Saints, who, you know, historically have picked up undrafted guys and lower round guys and kind of kept them. So yeah, I just got extremely fortunate.
I guess it's hard for you, Tim. I mean, as an undrafted guy, you look, I mean, you know the odds. You see these other guys and how many guys they bring in every year and how many actually make a team, how many actually make a roster. You knew those odds coming in, and you defy the odds. But, I mean, is it one of those things where you're so focused on getting better, making the team, becoming a starter, and in the situation that you're in, that it's almost hard to take a step back and really realize how far you've come?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, well, especially my rookie season, like you said, defying all the odds. Well, I throw in, being from the D2 level. So it's, you know, it's hard enough going undrafted, and you kind of feel like you're expendable. And then being from a D2 college as well, and you're like, oh crap, no, you basically got to give them a reason to keep you around. So I've been trying to do that for the past three seasons, and you know, hopefully it all works out this season, kind of bring it together a little bit.
Tim,
what was it about the Saints? I know you had an offer from the Dallas Cowboys this offseason. What was it about the Saints that made you want to stay?
Just, I mean, the team culture, what we have here, what we, you know, where we're building here, is awesome. I love the direction that we're going into. And obviously, you know, I love the city. I love it down here in New Orleans. I've made so many friends that, you know, have become more like family to me. And it felt right, you know, on a personal level as much as a business level as well.
Tim, what, as you work to get better, and you know, I read a column by Pete Prisco about offensive linemen, and they went out to see Charles Bentley, and they were working on different things, and they were sort of saying that coaching isn't as good. But what as you work on this offseason, in your mind, is there sort of one thing that is separating you from a five-year multi-million-dollar contract that you're like, if I get better at this, I'm going to get rich?
Definitely the pass blocking. You know, I think that's definitely my weak point, but I've worked so hard this offseason because I knew going into it last year, and we did some things schematically last year that didn't necessarily help me out. You know, I'm not saying that that's all the problem, but for sure, is my pass blocking. Like, there's some times that you could just see, like, I got beat right away on it. I was like, well, why the hell did that happen? And so I just, you know, broke it down, watched a ton of film this offseason, you know, got with the new coach, Roshar, and we talked about it, and we were like, dude, like, this is the only thing that's holding you back right now. Like, You know, you're really good in the run game. I mean, you know, I've actually had to switch agents this offseason, and my new agent, you know, kind of like broke down the numbers for me. He's like, hey, listen, look. He's like, you're at the top of the league right now in run blocking. He's like, you're like top six or seven or whatever it is, but you're almost last in the league for pass blocking. He's like, we got to work on that. So that's I think that's the key that's going to hold me. If I work on that, you know, I'll get better. The team will get better. So I'm excited about it. Been working really hard in the offseason for it.
Do you feel like there's one side of the line, left guard versus right guard, where it's easier to pass block?
Where it's easier? I don't know, because we don't really have a tendency to, like, I mean, some teams I know have a tendency to call the, so say if the left tackle's struggling or right tackle or whatever, they'll call the zone side more to that side. And you know, being on the zone side, you know, you're three-man surface, three-man help, you kind of can get away with more. But with the Saints, you know, we have such an intricate, you know, offense, we can't really do that. And, you know, those guys on the edge, they do a great job. I mean, Toronto obviously just got a brand-new $65, $66 million contract for a reason. And Streif, a couple of years ago, got his big contract. So, I mean, I don't think that we have a decline in tackles at all. So, but as for like pass blocking, or I mean, it's the same for either side for us. But the technique, I mean, you train yourself to do it like exactly like Drew, like switch hitting. So you're up in the batter's box and you're hitting right handed, and then you all of a sudden got to switch left handed. Well, a lot of people can't do that.
Tim, the one interesting thing I find about, you know, offensive line is, you know, they have these grades out now, but fans don't know. Some of us watch film. I don't know. But I've got to think it's so difficult being an offensive lineman is you could play perfect and one error and they'll be like, Tim Lito had a bad game, gave up that sack. Where other positions, I feel like they don't grade it. Fans don't judge you so harshly. Is it difficult as a sort of an offensive lineman when you're watching film, when you make that one mistake, to sort of put it? How do you put it? I guess my question: how do you put a mistake behind you in game?
You just have to put it behind you and go the next snap, like you said. I mean, being an offensive lineman, you're getting scrutinized the most. The best advice I probably got right when I got here. As Ja told me, if no one knows your name, you're doing a good job. So, but like you said, you screw up once or twice a game, and you know, you get screwed over for it, you get beat over the head for it, and you know, the exact opposite goes for a D lineman. D lineman, you know, you could not hear their name all game, but they get one sack, two sacks in the game, and yeah. You know, those guys know too. So, hey, I don't have to do a whole lot, but if I get one sack, you know, a game, and that kind of, you know, continues, and I get 12 sacks a season, man, I'm going to get, you know, freaking paid. So it doesn't work that way for offensive linemen. It's like, oh, I only gave up, you know, 5 or 6 sacks this season. You know, I'm going to get paid. No, you got to let up like none or one.
That's what Marcellus Wiley, a ESPN radio guy, says, for every sack you get, it's $1 million on your contract as a defensive line.
Basically.
I think, Andrew, do you have a question for?
No, I think we're good. I think if you could tell us one more time, Tim, just the website one more time for the softball game.
You can either go to thesonofasaint.org website, and they have information up on there, or you can go to tcynow.com.
Yeah, and I got to say, I've been to a couple of those, and the access to the players and just seeing the players and being able to socialize with them in a different atmosphere, it's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. If you haven't been before and you're in the New Orleans area or you want to travel, it's a must to hang out with the players. And
especially if you have, like, young kids that are, like, in that 5 to 10 year old range where they know about football and they're excited about seeing players and stuff, it's well worth the trip. Well worth it.
Yes, especially, I mean, I love doing it right now, kind of like right after the draft, because you guys get to come in and see, you know, the rookies and the free agents that we got after the season, kind of before we put on the pads and you know, end of July and August. So you kind of get to put a name with a face a little bit, too. That's why I like doing it.
Thanks so much, Tim. We really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem, man.
All right, we're joined by the two knuckleheads, Dave and Kevin. So the Saints actually broke news.
We're not allowed to talk to the real football players.
Well, I have Andrew on to be the serious thing, and I just hope to pronounce his name right, and then I let Andrew take it from there. I feel like with us three there, they would just hang up and we would never get a real guest again. But I have to say, Andrew, Tim Lolito, he did drop a curse word, so he fit right in on the podcast.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said shit.
Ooh.
Which is like,
and he said hell and damn a couple times.
Yeah. Ooh. So like he's like
a bit saucy.
But seriously, he was fantastic. And if you've already to this part of the podcast, you listened to it, Tim, so you know he was. And now I feel bad when I say that the Saints need competition at guard, even though that's true. Like I'm rooting for him even more now. Like I want him to succeed because he was so nice to us.
Yeah, I gotta say my opinion of him has changed a little bit. I mean, I'm rooting for him now. Obviously.
I'm an easy mark. If you come on the show and you're nice to us, we will root for you. Any Saints player, yeah. Just come on the podcast, and we'll stop saying horrible, horrible things about him.
I hope he goes back and looks at your timeline from during the draft.
Well, no, people will tell me that. I'll say this. I won't delete anything about my. I didn't. All I said was I want the Saints to draft a guard. I didn't say anything really derogatory about the man. You know, I never delete. You can go back.
I think you're.
It's fair to want competition.
It's fair to want. And then look,
it's healthy.
If you look at my Twitter, I don't delete tweets unless I like mess up a link and like tell them I'm sending them to Saints Nation and I send them to like a Mexican dirt race. I'll delete it then. But besides that, I don't delete my tweets. You know, I stand by whatever I know. But anyway, Andrew, the Saints extended Armstead. Were you surprised?
No, I wasn't. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, I really feel like you've got to retain your best talent, your best young talent. And you could argue, I mean, I think I want to throw this out there, that Armstead is the second-best player on the team. You know, you got Cam Jordan, you got Brandon Cooks. I mean, you got a couple guys that are in the mix, but I really feel like Armstead's probably the second best player. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of similar to Cam Jordan or Junior Gillette's deal and some of those guys where it's like, we'll give you what you're worth now before you make a Pro Bowl, or you could play this year out, see if you stay healthy. And then, I mean, God knows, I mean, what he would have got, he would have gotten $25 million more, you know, on the open market next year. Or he would have gotten franchise tagged and got an enormous paycheck for that. But then you're risking, like, does he get injured, you know, after three games? And then he wouldn't get nearly as much. And so that's why you always want to try to lock those guys up before they hit free agency and everything. And it's awesome that there's such good vibes with him, and he's just cool signing a deal now.
Kevin, last year we went through the whole Jake.
History has shown us that the guys who get the long-term deals, extensions before their contracts expire, usually turn out to be terrible.
That's not true. Morstead, Cam Jordan.
Who else? Junior Gillette was fine. Junior Gillette on field was fine. You know?
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, Charles Grant was pretty horrible.
Charles Grant was pretty bad.
Will Smith was okay.
Yeah.
After his contract.
Jari Evans was phenomenal. He did his a year early.
Colson waited to free agency.
No, his first deal he signed a year early.
Oh yeah.
Because he was a seventh round pick, so he signed like a I think it was like a 3-year deal, so he could get like another bite at the apple. So he did. So he got 2 deals. So I mean, but Andrew, I mean, sorry, Kevin, I was thinking of this with the Armstead deal. You know, last year we had to go through the whole every week. It was a Sean Payton leak to Jay Glazer about, hey, he's looking to go to other teams. They're going to trade him. Is he going to coach the team next year? Is he going to coach the Saints? Is he going to go, you know, do whatever?
I think that was Ian Rappaport.
Ian Rappaport, whoever. But, Kevin, I worry this year that if they don't sign Drew Brees to an extension before the season starts, like, we are going to get that. We are going to get that all year. It's going to be the running joke every Sunday, Kevin, of what Drew Brees rumor are we going to hear before kickoff today. And I'm just – it's fun for the jokes, but I'm kind of dreading it because it gets old after about 3 weeks. Am I just being – crazy negative, or is that going to happen?
I don't think you're being crazy negative. I think you're being realistic. I mean, if he around when the last time he had to get a deal done, when it happened?
It was July, right? It was like the franchise tag deal. It was like you got to do the deal before July 10th, I think it is.
Yeah, but when he had a deal done, like we went to a situation a few years ago where we and you know, oh, is he signing the extension? Is he renegotiating this other kind of stuff? And it seemed late. I'm just trying to figure out that, like,
your audio is awful, Kevin.
Really,
I feel like
I'm awful now.
You're basically you're Dave right now.
You're Dave, and not in a good way.
Great.
So, Dave, the Saints cut Vic Ballard today, and which made me think Vic Ballard is on the Saints team.
Don't forget about Tobin Okwuorom.
Yeah. But. I feel like the most interesting thing besides the Armstead extension was you posted it on Canal Street Chronicles was the Saints over under for 2016 after the draft and actually basically free agency is done. Vegas pegged it at 6.5,
yep.
which is a game lower than it was right after the season ended. So basically, Vegas has decided the 2016 Saints are going to be the worst Sean Payton, Drew Brees edition ever. Because the floor is 7, and they're saying 6.5. Yeah. I was very surprised by that.
I was, as soon as I saw it, you know, somebody emailed it to me, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, this seems very, very low.
Last year it was 8.5 in August.
Yeah, no. If I was them, I would probably set it right at 7 or 7.5 maybe. But for 6.5, I mean the Saints. You know, Drew Brees alone is worth 5 wins, I'd say. So if I was a betting man, which I'm not, but
as long as Tim Lolito doesn't get him hit.
Yeah.
I think to bet the over, but then you have to wonder. These guys.
And Dave audio sucks.
Yeah, Dave audio sucks. So everybody's audio sucks except for yours, Andrew. But no, your
audio sucks and your audio sucks.
You get
everybody's audio.
You get bad audio. Everybody gets bad audio. But here's the thing, and I'm going to go on a Twitter rant right now, is people – I was fighting with people during the draft, and I was like, this is not a playoff team, and my wife is going to Vegas.
My wife is going
to Vegas in August, and I was like, I'm betting the under on the Saints because it's going to be 8 or 8.5, and I'm going to be really, really confident that they're not going to cover the over. And then I was like, this last week, I was like, wow, the over-under on the Saints is 6.5. And people were like, well, you shouldn't have gone all in when you went all in. I'm like, yeah, the information changes, buddy. When facts change, I change my opinion. 6.5 is really low. I still might.
History says the bottom is 7 games.
Yes,
they win.
If Drew Brees is starting 15 or 16 weeks, the bottom is 7. Kevin, I find it really interesting that Vegas basically on the Saints offseason, I'll sum it up like this: they just went to drop it a game. I mean, Kevin, are you there?
Yeah. You got to repeat that last part.
Basically, Vegas, they looked at the Saints offseason and went.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I see. I get why they would go 6.5 wins.
Slow, though, man. 6.5. That's.
I understand that. Because, and now the funny thing was, I read, I want to say something on Canal Street Chronicles that said that. Lowest that Sean Payton and company have ever been. Actually, the lowest that the Saints have ever been in like the last
10. They were
20 years. They were typically.
They were six. They were six in 2006. But if you think about it, they had just come off a 3-13 year, the Katrina year. So a normal 3-13 team would be about 5.5. So Vegas actually didn't know what they had because they were like the year before they were 8-8, and then they had the Katrina year and they were 3-13. We're gonna split the middle and do it at 6. So that's the lowest number they've ever been under Sean Payton and Drew Brees is 6 in 2006. But that's a weird year.
Right, but I was talking about actual results.
Oh yeah. I mean,
he was saying that the Saints have always managed to come off as average or slightly below average, except with the exception of the Katrina year,
Katrina, Ditka's final year in '99, and Mora's final year in '96 are the only times in the last 30 years that they have lost double digit games. You know. So I mean,
that's incredible. Consider.
Yeah, I mean the thing is, like the Saints have been. I mean, Andrew, you know, me and you are kind of Saints history nerds. I mean, Saints, the really awful Saints history is really way way back now. Like if you go from Benson 1985 forward, they don't really have any train wrecks.
I mean, I think the dark mark is just that they didn't win a playoff game until 2000. So really, you know, from the 80s, they just couldn't get it done in the postseason. They were getting there. They just couldn't win a game. So, I mean, that's kind of the black mark. But, yeah, I mean, I think if you were just to look at the team from when I was a kid on, you know, or you know, when I was born in 1980 on, it's really not that bad.
Yeah. Right now – and I'll start with you, Dave. Right now, 6.5. Over.
Right now, hey, there's no tomorrow.
Right now.
Well, Van Halen.
Over or under 6.5.
Over.
Over.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
And
harder schedule though.
Way harder.
Schedule based on last year. You don't know what the schedule is really going to be like because you don't know how good these teams are going to be.
I agree. You
have a Super Bowl championship team that were playing and they don't even know who their fucking quarterback is.
Hey man, I'm with you, man. I'm
over. Kevin, over under.
I don't promise they won't be 8-8 though. I mean, I don't promise any better than that.
You promise 7?
No, either do I.
No. Jude. You have to predict something right now, and you have to stick to it for the remainder of your life. That is what people on Twitter have come to expect. We have to stick with it, and we are anchored to it for all of eternity.
Kevin,
we are not allowed to change our opinion. Oh. We are not allowed to even offer an apology. We have to stick to our opinion.
It's a blood oath.
Thus, I am going to say 6-10.
It's a blood oath, Kevin. Are you ready to commit the blood oath on Twitter? Here's the thing.
Six and ten. You're taking the under.
I'm taking the under two right now, but I reserve the right to change my opinion. But here's the thing, and this is a Twitter rant. I am so tired of people on Twitter saying, oh my God, you said that they needed to draft a guard, and then during the draft they get Landon Turner as an undrafted free agent and some other guys, and now you're thinking it's okay. I'm like, listen, I wanted them to try to fix guard. They have options at least. I don't give a fuck how they fix guard. I just want them to fix it. And I got so fed up with people during the draft and after the draft this week, I had to liberalize my blocking policy. Normally, I'm like, as long as you don't curse at me, you're fine. But now, if you make Twitter less fun, I'm blocking you. It's a block party all over. I'm just tired of these people with this, oh my God, 3 weeks ago you said, you know, the Saints need to cut. They need to cut everybody and they need to move to Vegas. Yeah, I was probably drunk, okay? And Twitter is a stream of consciousness. I'm not fucking Donald Trump. You can't pull a tweet from 4 years ago and being like, we don't need to build walls. We need to build relationships. And then right now Donald Trump wants to build a wall. Yeah, you could do that for him. He's running for president. I'm not running for a goddamn thing. If I want to tweet something today and change my mind tomorrow, it's fine. You know, you can call me out on it and you can laugh at me, but I'll laugh at myself. I change my opinion every 5 minutes. Do you read my column on WWL? That's what I do. I make fucking jokes. Okay? I'm just tired of this blood oath predictions. That's what they are. No, it's just...
How much have you been drinking tonight?
A lot. and I'm just tired of it. I just want Twitter to be fun. And I'll argue with you, and you can make fun of me. I don't give a shit. But just with this better than... You know, if you're going to call out my predictions and what I said, but not make any of your own that somehow you're better, get the fuck out of here, man. I'm just tired of it. You know, all right? I'm done. You know.
that was epic.
I'm just, you know, I just like, oh, I just quit it. You know, whatever. When I run for president, then you can call out the tweets from like 2016 and all that. Just, but anyway,
it is 2016.
Well, no, like in 2024, you can call out the tweets when I run for president. Whatever.
Yeah.
But. The Saints have not moved on a guard in free agency. I thought they might go for Slauson. He signed with San Diego.
The Chargers, yeah.
The Chargers. So who's left? What's his name? Luis?
Vasquez,
who the Chargers got rid of, right?
I don't think they're going to – I mean, I don't think the options are very good. Like, I think they're just going to roll with what they have at this point. And – you know, I wouldn't rule out like a panic move where they maybe trade for a guard like later on in the offseason if they feel like they're in trouble. I mean, you certainly – you'll see teams make moves.
Would they make
at final cuts maybe?
I think they might make a panic move like in August. But I don't think they won't make a panic move off of like mini camps.
I think right now they're going – in camp with the guys they have. If anything, honestly, if they were going to sign a veteran, I could see him signing a vet at receiver. Maybe a vet at safety or something. But, I don't see them bringing a guard in at this point. I just think the cupboard's too bare in free agency. So, at least for now, they'll bring these guys in and we'll see what they have.
Kevin, I was looking at fantasy football values in auction draft for Michael Thomas for the Saints.
$2.
He's valued at $6. In our draft, he's going for at least 30, right? In the Saints podcast draft, he's going for at least 30, right?
If he goes for over $1, if he seriously goes for – I'm laying the wood to somebody.
Are you gonna? You're not gonna hoard all your money like last year and spend it on like Fleener and Thomas?
Listen, I just gotta find that sweet spot, knowing when to hoard money early on, and then finding that right moment to actually start spending.
I feel like
I held on to my money. I held on to my money way too long.
God, your audio. God,
he wins the weekly Dave audio. I feel like Kevin is confirming my order at the Taco Bell drive-thru.
Dude, yeah. Sounded like you were Patriots before it rolled.
Yeah, it's true. I didn't get any
it
of that.
It is true. It was probably.
I don't, Ralph. I don't even know how you understand what he's saying.
I don't.
You have like a special bond with Kevin.
Yes.
Like Elliot and E.T.
How is that I'm the bad one this week? How is that possible?
I don't know. Are you like?
I don't know how. I don't know why it doesn't happen more often. To be honest.
Are you in a closet?
So? The most amazing part here is that Dave has been crystal clear the whole podcast.
Am I clear? Crystal.
Ironic that I was singing Right Now by Van Halen, and now we're talking about crystal clear Pepsi.
A few good men.
So, let's see. I don't know if we had Tim Lolito questions, which I tried to work in, but we don't have any. We don't have any like non.
Everybody blew their load all over the Tim Lolito questions.
Yeah. So
I don't think I said that right.
Crazy.
Did you ask Lolito? Favorite wrestler?
No, we didn't.
Jesus.
No, we didn't. Jesus. So, and this was a reminder to people: if you want to have better, if you want us to have better audio, you could donate $1, $2, $5, like Jim did this week, and we could have better audio. But you, our great listeners, need to make it happen. Make a one-time donation, or become a patron and donate just $1 a month. That's all we need, and we can have the best audio that a little pile of money can buy.
Hang on. If my audio is real bad, should I just get off the phone?
No.
Well, I think we're done anyway. So.
Yeah, I think we're done. But people the bad audio is like part of the charm, man. The audio, the
yeah. At this
thing,
point, it's like a rite of passage. Yeah.
It's like the audio, the drinking, the cursing, the rants. You know. And we do promise that we will get back to the worst Sean Payton draft pick bracket next week, and we're going to knock that thing out. But you can go
we
to –
We don't need to be in a rush.
No. You can go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got
stuff.
Articles on why to trade up. He's got all kinds of fun draft stuff. Dave's got fun stuff. You can go to Canal Chicago. Dave's got stuff like, you know, the over-under on the Saints is 6.5 and all kinds of other cool, fun things. And Kevin is on the Twitters. Right? Just the Twitters. Cause...
Yes, I'm on Twitter and wrestling around.
Yeah.
Can we get a Taco Bell update on your lady friend or no?
Taco Bell. Yeah, she's good. She came over Saturday. Spent the late afternoon and the evening together. Went and hung out, and she met some of my friends, and they were happy to meet her, and she enjoyed herself, and so a good time was had by all.
And
man, we almost got through that.
We did.
So go to Saints Nation, go to Canal Street Chronicles, find Kevin Held on Twitter. So until next week, the bar is closed.
Again. Chalupa, a Mexican pizza, and some mild sausage.